RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So back in December here at RCR, if you remember, how good's your memory? Anna Shatat and Katrina Mitchell-Kaltob, engineer from Gaza and storyteller from Jerusalem, respectively, were on to share their family history and perspectives under Israeli rule. Engineer Anas, originally from Gaza, and Katrina Mitchell-Kaltob, originally from Old Jerusalem. Well, yesterday here was October 7th. Where it actually took place, well, that is the date as we speak. So it's the first anniversary of the Hamas terror attack on Israel on October the 7th, 2023. So we thought we'd invite Anas and Katrina back to touch on that, but also talk about what the people are facing in that part of the world at the moment. Beaming in from Wellington this morning. So I want to welcome Anas Shatat and Katrina Mitchell-Kaltob back to RCR. Thanks for coming on again, guys. Nice to have you back.
Thank you so very much for asking us to join you again.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Paul.
Okay, so I mentioned October 7th. We commemorate those who were killed, those who were taken hostage, obviously. The Hamas attack on Israel. I'm wondering, if that attack hadn't taken place, would that part of the world be in the escalatory and close to, incredibly, on a big scale, confrontational, something's about to happen. Would that have happened if Hamas hadn't attacked? You got any ideas about that?
I think it would, actually. I think that we knew that 2 weeks before October the 7th, Netanyahu was in the UN, and he produced a map, and this map was a new Israel. And this included the West Bank and Gaza, and went into, well, he was talked about going into neighboring countries. So he made it very explicit and very, very clear that the Israeli government's plan moving forward was to completely absorb all of Palestine into Israel and then move beyond that. And we'd been hearing over the last little while a lot of anti-Palestinian rhetoric, genocidal language. So it was always on the cards. And whether it happened on October the 7th or whether it happened in a few months, it was something that was destined to happen. You cannot oppress a people for a long period of time and start to ramp up. We know that before, a stranglehold on Gaza was becoming impossible for people to live, to maintain.
Right. Anas, you're about to say too.
Well, in my view and my experience, adding to what Katrina said, yes, I mean, it was a plan that they already had for the Palestinians. They've just increased or escalated the speed of their plan. That's all it took. I don't think they actually needed the October the 7th to execute that plan, but they had the intentions already. I mean, when you look at their behavior, even, and you know, like statements coming from their politicians, it's quite clear that this is something they believe in, something they actually want to achieve. I mean, when you you know, as Professor Martin Coward, he's the head of the School of Politics and International Relations at Queen Mary University of London. He said, you know, when you purposely and not proportionally, you know, do, you know, have strategic goals of war that actually violates the law of war by, you know, destroying houses and areas and making it impossible for those you know, that are different to you to live in those urban spaces, it's quite clear that was intentional. You know, intentional. It was not something that, oops, we've done by mistake, or
we've had wars, you know, for 70 odd years, and in Gaza in particular for the last, you know, how many years, there's been continuous bombings, operation this, operation that. It's not anything new. It's just more industrialized and it's more extreme. So this is a continuation of Israel's policies and the way Israel has behaved. It's just more extreme. And this right-wing government has fueled Israel to push itself to the very brink.
Yeah, they might not have needed October 7th, but it gave them an opportunity, the Israelis, as well, didn't it?
Completely. I mean, what happened on the October the 7th is horrific. And Palestinians, including Palestinians in New Zealand, have consistently said that the war crimes that Hamas committed were unacceptable against civilians. And we would be completely remiss to not agree that war crimes against any civilians is unacceptable in any country, in any place. And that was awful. It was a devastation. And we, you know, we apologize. And we also think about those Israelis who died and those who were hostages. It would be really wonderful if we could hear the same from the Jewish Council in New Zealand to support us as Palestinians going through the most extreme circumstances, losing our families continuously, you know, to what Palestinians, the situation they're facing now is absolutely unimaginable. And I would just like to make really clear, the Jewish Council made a comment yesterday, which was really upsetting, that they said that our gatherings and our vigils that we're having at the moment to commemorate the deaths, and this is with our Jewish brothers and sisters hand in hand, of both Jews and Israelis, is offensive. And why is it offensive? I'd like to understand why the Jewish Council thinks that Palestinians mourning the deaths of their loved ones are offensive.
Well, why do you think?
Well, I'd like to know. I know that Juliet Moses, who is the spokesperson for the Jewish Council, has made some really offensive and upsetting comments in the last year. One of them being that she was questioning the health ministry, the Gaza health ministry, number of deaths of Palestinians. This is my family that died. She's questioning whether my family really died or not, basically. She also made a statement that that New Zealanders should consider paying taxes if this government was going to continue giving humanitarian aid towards UNRWA. This is humanitarian aid towards civilians. We know that 69% of deaths so far in Gaza are women and children, and they are facing the most unimaginable horrors. So why would you not want to ensure that aid was going to innocent civilians? So, you know, and her mother as well, Barbara Moses's mother, was asked to stand down in May from her position of Justice of the Peace because of the comments that she made to a Pākehā woman who is a single mother who brought her two-year-old to get papers signed. And Barbara Moses said if she didn't remove her kefir, she would refuse to sign these papers, and allegedly said that she supported the war in Gaza and the unfolding genocide. So it is something that's seriously, concerning for us as victims, as we are going through this horrific experience. We would like to hear the Jewish Council support Palestine, support international law, and we'd like to see them denounce Israel's behavior, which yet we are to hear.
I'll add to that and add an example that was stated, what the president, Herzog, of Israel said on the October 13th, which was during a briefing for international media. And I quote, "When a nation protects its home, it fights, and we will fight until we'll break their backbone," referring to Palestinians. "It's not true, this rhetoric about civilians not aware, not involved. It's absolutely not true. It's an entire nation out there that is responsible," end of quote. So when you have a government, a president who represents the so-called, democracy, or, the only democracy in the Middle East, that's always the slogan they try and sell the world, stating such, giving such a statement in front of international media outlets and singing that to the whole world, and then doing that day by day. What do you expect? These people, they don't have even, the single shred of respect or decency for human beings. Their defense minister said human animals. That's how he called the Palestinians or the Gazans, So you are dealing with what I would like to call, they're not even humans, they're monsters. They are technically monsters that they think they are the best. Nobody should dare to even challenge them. Like President Macron, this is just the French president, just yesterday, when he just hinted or he stated, he urged to halt any arms delivery to Israel for use in Gaza. So, he started to feel that, well, there are human beings suffering happening. There's civilians are struggling. You know, within a couple of hours, you know, the Israeli prime minister came out slamming the French president, calling his stance as a disgrace. Why? Because he said, we're a civilized country and, you know, you should be by our side. So that makes me wonder, does civilization mean the destruction and killing of innocent civilians?
How do you explain such a dismissive attitude, as you were saying, Katrina, and you as well, Anas, just then? I mean, are they on some kind of religious war journey here? Because the military minds that you hear talking these days basically say, even with the assistance of the US, Israel's probably, in a military sense, doomed anyway. So to plow on kind of boggles the mind a bit, doesn't it?
Well, not really. When you look at the situation, I mean, Netanyahu is a criminal. He's up for criminal charges. We know that once this particular war, this assault on humanity ends, and it will end, it will come to an end one way or another, he will be in jail. So you've got one person desperately holding on to his independence as long as he possibly can, and to hell with everyone, everything, and every life, including Israelis that are dying. We don't hear a lot of it here in New Zealand, but there are hundreds of Israeli soldiers dying through this war. And then, unfortunately, you have this right-wing extremist government that is psychotic. What you have seen and what we are witnessing, and let's be clear, this is way beyond this idea of Israel-Palestine. It's beyond this idea of religion, which it never was. This is about humanity. This is about our international law. This is about our human rights, which are up for debate. And that is what shapes our world for the future. It's what keeps civilians safe. We are violating justice at the moment. We are damaging the interests of all countries. And this extends into our environment. The environmental degradation that this has produced is absolutely phenomenal. You're looking at 50 years worth of radiation, of environmental damage that will be experienced by both Israelis and Palestinians. And this will, you know, turn into cancer, will turn into all sorts of problems and issues, including the leaking of fuels and chemicals and radioactive material into the sea that will go down to the Mediterranean across to Egypt. This situation that we're facing is not a normal situation. It's not a situation that you would consider someone with any sense of human rights or common sense would pursue. So you're looking at a irrational, psychotic, and completely right-wing determination to have Israel as a solely Jewish Israeli state or Hamas. They don't care who is killed, who is involved, or what happens. And you're not getting any kind of sense coming out of the government in Israel at the moment. So it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. And as you're seeing at the moment, the level of destruction that started in Lebanon should reaffirm to New Zealanders where Israel is actually coming from and what its end game is. And, you know, this is a serious situation for New Zealand. It's a serious situation for all New Zealanders, and they should be deeply
concerned. Well, we're backing Israel, from what I can make out.
Most definitely, because we're backing the US, because we know and it's been very clear that this coalition government wants to have the support and wants to ally with the US. And when you ally with the US, then you're allying with Israel, because the US itself is not making the decisions in respect of its own national interests. There is no interest for America to follow Israel in where it's going for the, you know, for the citizens in the US. Just as there is no interest in New Zealand, there are no New Zealand national interests for us to follow the US, because what governments are supposed to be doing is leading with the hope of peace throughout the world. But the US has been very clear, and so has Israel, that their idea of creating some kind of stability is through military means. And it's already dragged New Zealand. This government's dragged New Zealand into Yemen.
Okay, do any of you, both of you, think that this will escalate to Iran raining down missiles on Israel, Israel retaliating, maybe targeting nuclear facilities, certainly oil refineries, etc., which will affect New Zealand because we've only got 8 days of storage of diesel. We need to remember that. Do you see this going all the way?
Well, first, let me add to what Katrina ended with. You know, we've seen this film before, and it did not, and I did not like it, or I did not like the ending. This is what the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Norway spoke at the UN just a week ago. So, going to your question, just looking at the pattern of how the Israelis have been behaving, they've been just trying to seek a way out by marching forward. And when I say marching forward, looking for another war or another conflict that they can win. You know, when they couldn't achieve much in Gaza, they've declared all the you know, their goals, and all they've achieved are civilian casualties, full destruction, and expanded to the West Bank. Look at what's happening in the West Bank. You know, just killing people, irresponsibly bombing them. I mean, with you know, airstrikes. It's just ridiculous. You got high concentration refugee camps in the West Bank. And there were even calls by ministers of you know, the Israeli government saying, go to Jordan. You know, we don't want you here. Just move on, pack your stuff, go to Jordan. I mean, if that's not ethnic cleansing, I mean, what is, you know? What's going to happen next? All the options are, I would say, are open. I wouldn't be actually surprised if things take a very dark or gloom and doom sort of, you know, move moving forward. This is something I do expect to, based on the pattern that I've seen from the Israelis. It does look gloom. It does look bleak. I have to admit, the Israeli war machine has no limit and is willing to destroy anyone or anything that stands in its way. Look at what they've just done to the UN Secretary General when they just declared him as a person that's no longer welcome. He did not behave or say something that they would expected him to say. So, yeah, I don't really know what to say.
I hear.
Who is out there to stop them? That's the question.
I would like to answer that and say that this is entirely dependent on the US. The US imperialism in the Middle East is the reason why this has escalated to where it's got to. We know that a world war or a war would definitely go ahead if it was up to Israel. It all lays in the US's lap and in the lap of the governments, especially in the West and North America, depending on what they do, what they say, and how they behave and how they act. It's been really clear from Iran's point of view that it does not want to escalate the war. It has said that time and time again. It's targeted military targets that have not killed any civilians. It has been really clear about what its objectives would be and how quickly it would back down. What has been clear on the return of that is Israel completely ignoring any sense of ending or diplomacy or ceasefire moving forward. And even our government, I was really disappointed that Peters has called on maximum restraint and diplomatic solutions, which are essential, and then unequivocally condemned Iran's attack on Israel without ever condemning any attack that Israel has done. And I'm saying they don't use the same language. Mm. There was no condemnation on Israel's attack on the embassy in Iran, which is illegal under international law, against its assassinations. It completely rightly condemned in horrific words Hamas's October the 7th terrorist attack. And yet we've had 597, I think it was, I could be wrong, 540, between 40 and 97 civilians killed in one day in Lebanon, and there was not one word from our government. Nothing. So it all will depend on whether or not, with the ICJ advisory opinion, with the General Assembly resolutions, whether or not governments, the third party states, their obligations have been triggered, whether or not they make the necessary moves to ensure that we we maintain peace for everyone across the world, because this is a serious situation we're facing. It's not fun and games. We're looking at nuclear war. We're looking at a complete disaster worldwide. And if Israel decides to attack Iran's oil bases, what's Iran going to do? They're going to attack every other oil base, and they have the means and capability of doing it. And we will be without oil. And that will be the first step. And they have said very clearly that, you know, they're not going to back down. The time of self-restraint for Iran is now over, because they have been self-restrained. And we have not acknowledged that. We have just let Israel continue this, you know, horrific attack on international law, on humanity, and on civilians.
You'd think the Israeli population would not want one man doing something for himself at the expense of a nation, right?
Yeah, but you see, it's been really difficult, because Israel from a young age, and you hear many Israelis that have left Israel saying this, that they are brainwashed from a young age. They're brainwashed to believe that they are under a security threat. No one is under threat in Israel, you know, the way that Israel threatens the countries around them. The amount of deaths, civilian deaths, the amount of civilian infrastructure that has been damaged in Israel is extremely limited. However, Israelis themselves, because they're complicit, many Israelis are complicit in this war by having to join the army at a young age and are asked to commit human rights abuses and war crimes. They genuinely believe that this is the right thing for them to do, that they're under threat, and that there is no other way forward except to fight their way into an Israel that expands its territories into the areas the government tells them they need to go.
Anas.
Yes, to add to Katrina, I mean, let's look at the facts here, right? So there's a genocide that's already happening. And for the past year, you know, we've been seeing, you know, this genocide being conducted with glee and celebrating their atrocities on TikTok. You know, it's not hidden. It's out there. Anyone can find it. Everyone is in shock. You know, any decent human being is actually shocked from the fact that somebody is actually celebrating, you know, these atrocities. But then on the other side of this, you've got the ordinary Israelis. They actually see that their military is doing and celebrating it. You know, they're seeing what's happening on a daily basis. They're just celebrating it. When the rape charges were laid against those soldiers a couple of months ago, you know, members of the public stormed the base where it was stated that these soldiers are being under investigation or being held for interrogation, because they thought they were actually doing the right thing. You know, they had the right to do what they had to do. So glorifying rape, glorifying killing, destruction. So it's not about fringe elements that we're talking about, that we see this and think, you know, this is a good thing. No, it's actually a wider spectrum of the Israeli, community, unfortunately.
Well, I guess on this day, we think about everyone that gets caught up in these horrible, well, they're conflicts ultimately, but there's what, ego, hubris, history, exceptionalism, all these things that kind of people have a view of themselves on and make them sort of push on with things. It's great to have you back for your perspective, Anna Shatat and Katrina Mitchell-Kaltop. Any final words before we wrap up? Any final points to make?
Yeah, I just love to extend my, my heartfelt sorrow at the deaths that we have, we've endured on both sides. Particularly now coming into Lebanon, the same thing is happening. And for those in New Zealand who might not understand and may not be clear about the situation for Palestinians in Gaza, I really urge you to watch a documentary by Al Jazeera. It's called 1 Year in Gaza. And it's an absolutely very clear, it's not political, it's not about who's right or wrong, it's about what a civilian population is facing and has faced for 1 year. And when you watch that, you'll understand why the rest of the world is up in arms and has been demonstrating every single week for a year against the atrocities that are occurring.
Yes. For me, just would like to tell everyone listening, to us is that this is not a war of borders or ethnicities. It's a battle of humanity itself. I mean, international law flatters as we watch it, you know, and fades away with each passing day. So, and I'll end this with a line from a poem, a Palestinian poet, Murad al-Barghouti, who said, "It's not necessary to admire the victim. What matters is refraining from admiring the killer." Thank you.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.